This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. And we welcome you to the program. It is good to have you along. We're going to be talking today about an important topic, a topic which can affect many of us in the long term, whether it be volunteering to help with this organization or receiving the services of the organization. Well, the organization is Hospice of Evangelical, and their director, Kathy Paul, is with us today on the program to bring us up to date on their efforts, a little history and look back. We'll also look ahead to what's next for Evangelical Hospice. Kathy Paul is with us, and we thank her for being along. We want to ask her first a bit about Hospice of Evangelical. Give us a brief history, if you would, Kathy.
Yes, the hospital has actually changed some of the physical locations of the hospice office, but over the years of hospice, we've still served the same community, Snyder, Union, Northumberland counties. So it's been pretty consistent as far as the communities that we're serving.
For those not familiar, what is hospice? Just talk about the concept, first of all, before we go further.
Hospice is a service that is available to anyone, regardless of your ability to pay. And what it is for those individuals and their families who have life-limiting illnesses. So a physician would need to determine that someone has, by Medicare regulations, a life expectancy of 6 months or less, and that individual has made the decision that they want to be in their home, wherever that home is, whether it's a nursing home, an assisted living, and be managed and kept comfortable without having to go back and forth to the hospital and those sort of things.
And of course, the length of time in hospice can vary. Former President Carter going a year and a half since his announcement, but sometimes it can be days or weeks. But give us some idea of what you expect on average.
That's kind of the word that we're trying to get out, is that a lot of people, when they think about hospice, they're thinking about someone who is actively dying in their last days. And really, to get the best benefit from the service that's available to you, it's better to have that conversation with your primary care physician early on. Because even though you might have a life-limiting illness, and your physician may say that you have 6 months or less to go, just like you said, some people go well beyond 6 months. We currently have someone who's on service 18 months. So, and just as well as the length of service can continue, we also have people who graduate from hospice who actually do well after they're managed.
Talk about the program, if you would, Kathy. The size of it, the volunteers, paid staff, how many people are keeping this running? And also a little statistic-wise on how many people you care for in the course of a year.
So in the course of a year, we have served approximately somewhere between 275 and 300 people in the community. Our staff here is a staff of about 14 people, including nurses, social worker, volunteer liaison. And then we have a pretty significant volunteer base of about 45 individuals who help us out.
Now, what does a volunteer do?
So being a hospice volunteer, there's many different avenues that a person can take if they want to volunteer. One of the opportunities is to come into the office and help with assisting with staff duties, such as filing or making phone calls or things like that, helping us assemble packets for bereavement. So those sort of office duties. The other two things, obviously, is that volunteers can do direct patient care, where they're going to the patient and they're providing either some sort of respite for the family, or they're just providing companionship for the patient themselves. And then we also have volunteers who specifically like to do bereavement. So after someone passes away, we make sure that we continue to follow with the family and their loved ones for a period of 13 months. And the volunteers help us to be able to do that, to meet those sort of key times within that 13 months.
What does it take to be a hospice volunteer? Certainly this isn't something that is for everyone.
I think it's anyone who really enjoys people. And, you know, understanding that a lot of the individuals that we're caring for may not be super chatty. They may be exhausted from the illness itself. We really just need someone to be there who can be present for the patient, letting them know that they're not alone. We do try to kind of match our volunteers. If someone's a veteran or likes music or whatever, we try to kind of match them up that way. But the individual themselves just needs to be someone who's caring and compassionate.
What kind of preparation is there for the volunteers before they begin their efforts?
So we offer a volunteer training annually. We did add a second training in this year in April because there was actually quite a few people who reached out that were interested in volunteering. So they come for the day. It's pretty much an action-packed day. You're busy from the moment that you get here until the moment you leave. So it's about an 8-hour training. And then throughout the year, our volunteer liaison, Kara, she puts trainings together that are free and available to the volunteers to kind of keep them up to par with what we're doing and how things are changing in the hospice world.
We do try to get the word out on programs like this. Where are you getting responses to these, or are there other places you're getting referrals?
So many of the referrals that we get for our patients come from a lot of the primary care physicians. A large number of our patient base comes from word of mouth. Someone who may have been on hospice and the family has been satisfied with the services. So when they're in that same situation, then they're sort of referring to us as well. And then obviously the physicians within the hospital system.
And where do you get volunteers from? How do you get the word out there?
Everywhere we can. There are several events held in the community throughout the year that she attends and kind of helps to seek volunteers. Again, a lot of the volunteers that we have come through word of mouth from other volunteers who have been like, hey, this is a great opportunity. It's so rewarding. So they want to come and kind of find out what it's all about. So we do attend the senior fairs in the area. We do reach out to the senior centers in the community and things like that, just to make sure that people know that the service is available. And like I said, volunteers, we go wherever there's volunteer fairs happening.
Certainly there have been myths about hospice over the years. Are they still there? Have you done your best to kind of sort them out, debunking them for people?
So that is actually our goal. We're trying our hardest to kind of debunk some of those myths about hospice. One of the analogies I like to use is that, you know, if you see your check engine light come on and you know you have a problem, why would you wait until your engine blows up, so to speak, before you're actually doing something about it? Because you're going to get better service and likely have less issues if you get that check engine light checked. So the same thing works for our people. If they know they have an illness and they're having problems, getting the support that they need in there, getting the medications that they need in there, having regular kind of checkups in there, it's a much better service than trying to go into somebody who is actively dying and having a lot of pain, trying to get to know them and make things good in 3 days versus 3 months.
Final thoughts on the Hospice of Evangelical and the care they provide.
So we have a social worker who works with us, Andrea Runkle. She's actually our bereavement advisor, and she helps coordinate the bereavement advisory committee, which is a group of volunteers. And we put together things to continue support for families after someone passes. So most recently, we had our annual remembrance walk, which we held at the Shikellamy State Park, where families can come. They can kind of pay tribute to their loved one. They can take a walk in nature, kind of just reconnect, get rid of some of those emotions. And then there's staff available at that, too, if they want to talk or go through anything like that. Our volunteers help to send out cards during special occasions throughout that 13 months that we follow people. Andrea checks in with phone calls. And then she actually puts together programs to kind of continue to support not just the individuals that we've cared for and their families, but also to support the community. And she's actually going to be holding one of those grief sessions here coming up in September. It's going to be September the 26th, and it's going to be held at the Public Library for Union County, and that's called Surfing the Waves of Grief. So when we have those community events, anybody can come to them, you know, whether they were with our hospice or not, just to kind of get an idea of some of the things that other people are going through as they go through the grieving process.
Kathy Paul has been our guest on the program today, the director of Hospice of Evangelical. We want to thank her for being with us on the program, and we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.